Hey, AC, what do you say?
Not much, man. I'm doing all right. How you doing?
Hanging in there?
I'm hanging in there, man. I'm doing my thing, you know. What about you?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah?
Doing all right.
That's good.
Thinking a lot about living life fully.
Yeah, and what kind of things you've been thinking about?
Well, I was just thinking about all the time that I waste.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, when I get distracted and I get pulled away from the things that are important in my life, mm-hmm. like, you know, deep English, growing deep English,
sure.
my family,
yeah.
and find myself watching inane videos on YouTube.
that's a common way to escape, no doubt about it.
I started watching clips of old Sopranos TV episodes
okay,
on YouTube.
Yeah, Tony Soprano.
And, you know, it's a great show, but I've seen it.
Yeah, you've seen it already.
You know, what am I
so
doing?
So what are you watching it again for?
What am I doing with myself? And I was inspired by some of the themes in this story about just remembering that our time is limited and
yes.
how we need to make the most of it.
Absolutely. I've been thinking quite a lot about that in the last few days.
Yeah.
And it helps me focus
yeah.
on what's important. So
yeah.
it's good. It's very good in that sense. Yeah.
Yeah, it was, you know, there was a part of me that felt a little bit a little bit worried about this lesson and, you know, how people are going to take it. Are they going to see this as a downer, or are they going to see, you know, that this is really a call to action to enjoy life and,
uh-huh.
and cherish the life.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think some people might see it as kind of a glass half empty sort of thing.
Oh,
you know,
right.
How many days you got left? Why are
right.
you looking at it that way?
Right. Right, right, right. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, for me, the topic is, I certainly people are going to take it in different ways. But yeah, for me, the topic, it is inspiring because it reminds us of life and, I mean, you can't separate the two. They're part of the same process. And if you forget the other side, you like you said, you get distracted by things that don't matter.
Yeah.
And you start spending time in ways that are not fulfilling to you. And if you can keep that reality in your consciousness and your awareness, if that's at the background of everything that you do, I think it can give new meaning to
yeah.
what you're experiencing.
Yeah, I think sure. it's so easy to lose yourself in distraction or in things that may seem important but aren't really.
Sure.
That's why I love that legend of the Roman general. You can just imagine him being on the top of the world.
Right.
He's coming home, returning home victorious
right.
after, you know, defeating some German barbarians.
Right.
And, yeah, yeah. The whole world is, or the city of Rome, which is the center of the world and,
at that
in
time,
their minds
right. yeah.
is fêting, you know, the victorious general
mm-hmm.
and he has the wherewithal to remember.
Mm-hmm.
Or to make it someone's job to help him
remember right.
that this is you know just one level of life and
right.
that there's something greater and more important
right
that
and that's coming
yeah
that's coming sooner yeah. than later perhaps
yeah apparently it was a Stoic philosophy
mm-hmm.
which I guess is ancient Greeks the Stoics
yeah perhaps. Sounds
and,
like it.
And I think for them the angle was in remembering that you know your time is limited
mm.
that it gets you to focus on cultivating virtue
mm-hmm.
in life
mm-hmm.
and
well that's you know that's a common theme also in many of the major religions of the world that of you know you've got to die before you can live.
Yeah.
And, of course that is interpreted in many different ways, but one of the ways that I kind of see it is the you, meaning the ego you has to die. Like you got to see the ego for what it is and not get all wrapped up in that
yeah.
ego. Because when you do, you forget that that's not actually you. That's just
yeah.
one aspect of your existence.
And you know, that's a very Eastern way of looking at
mm-hmm.
it. And, so I mean the Eastern philosophy found in Hinduism or Buddhism
mm.
or maybe even in Taoism
mm-hmm.
is this you know, this focus on living in the present moment.
Yeah.
So that we don't get lost in illusion.
Right.
Which is maybe our fantasies about what might happen or,
right.
or what's happened, or dwelling too much on what's happened in the past, and then we miss the reality of the here and now. So that's why I thought it was really interesting that, that Kevin Kelly kind of flipped it on his head.
Uh-huh.
And said that the, you know, that there that element is important too.
Mm-hmm.
Is that is remembering the future.
Right.
You know, while normally we hear all of the kind of live in the present moment philosophy that tells us to forget about the future.
Right.
Of course, I mean, I think Eastern philosophers, they're not saying to not take care of the environment.
Oh, right. Or just completely forget about the past. Right. Of course not.
Right. Yeah, but I thought that was interesting that, you know, during that 6 months where he thought he was going to die.
Yeah.
He said, you know, I'm in order to live fully, I'm not going to think about it
right.
at all. What actually will happen
right.
in 6 months.
Yeah. One of the interesting things about his story that I sort of questioned was this, you know, he had this kind of spiritual awakening or spiritual experience when he was in, was it Jerusalem?
Jerusalem.
He was in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And he spent the night in that church and he woke up and it just popped into his head that he's got 6 months to live. Like, I wonder what, like how he actually interpreted that. Did he know that it was just probably not the case? Like, did he fully believe it, or did he decide to himself, you know what, it's going to be 6 months and I'm going to live my life as if I'm going to die in 6 months? Or did he truly think, you know what, this is it. I'm definitely out of here in 6 months.
I think it was both. There was a part of him that truly felt that was what was going to happen. And then there was a logical, rational side to him that said, this, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, why would you believe that just because that idea popped into your head?
Right. But I mean, it could be like, you know, like some people do these things. They have these experiments. They experiment on themselves and I'm going to live my life in the next 6 months as if these are my last 6 months. I mean, I could totally see somebody entertaining that.
Right.
To see what would happen.
Right. I mean, I think it is a weird kind of, he was holding both of those polar opposites that he was realizing that it maybe wasn't true, but at the same time he was feeling compelled.
Yeah. Right.
To follow it. And, you know, part we didn't include in the lesson, he talks about that bike ride, that there were a lot of dark times for him where he wasn't necessarily thinking about his death, but there was a certain, there's a certain sadness in appreciating the present moment.
Yeah.
You know, he said he was writing haikus, and, you know, one element that maybe people who have never been to Japan don't, most people who don't know too much about Japanese culture just think of a haiku poem as being a short, small poem with a certain amount of syllables.
Yes. Right.
But
right.
you know, there's all these other kind of themes involved. And one of the themes is the transience of life?
Yeah, the fleeting, transience of life, right.
The fleeting nature of life.
Exactly.
And he found himself, I guess he did understand that element of haikus. And
right.
He found himself writing lots of haikus.
Right.
And, you know, here in Japan, there's all this appreciation of the elements of nature, like the cherry blossoms that are here for a short amount of time, just like we humans are here on this earth for a short amount of time. And so, I mean, I think while he talks about trying to be upbeat and trying to live in the moment, he was also holding some sadness of
I think the present moment is like that. It's bittersweet because it doesn't last. It's so fleeting. It's gone. The moment you even recognize it or even try to, you know, conceptualize it or describe it, it's already gone.
Yeah.
And our whole life is like that. And the relationships we have and who we see ourselves as, it's constantly changing and it's never the same. And trying to hold on to that and keep it is, well, according to some philosophies, a source of great suffering.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, how do you accept that and still live happily?
Hmm.
Actually, I just read this. It was in the newspaper today. I saw it. They just released the... I don't know if they just released it or they just reported it, but Harvard University researchers at Harvard just released the results of a 70-year study. 70 years. Uh-huh. They followed a cohort of two different groups of people. One were like really highly educated Harvard grads.
Yeah.
And the other were like a group of poor people from a lower socioeconomic class.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of people. I can't remember the number, but they followed them for 70 years and they found that what made people, like the number one key indicator of someone's happiness in life was their connection to others, like relationships.
Uh-huh.
And that was the most important thing that for people who, regardless of your socioeconomic or educational background or how much money you were making, it was just being in connection with a community of people in a meaningful way.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was quite interesting because this guy, Kelly, when he thought about how he's going to spend his last 6 months, it was related to the people he loved the most, the family. He just wanted to do normal things, spend time with his family. And even when he got the travel bug, he wanted to hang out with his brothers and sisters. So he got on a bicycle and rode around. And I mean, that was what was ultimately, that's what mattered to him.
Yeah.
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 So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's one of the things that, that I love about Deep English is that, you know, it's kind of a distant connection. We don't have time to talk to too many of our members, but we get to share these ideas and, you know, help people bring in these kind of more meaningful topics into their English practice.
And not only into their English practice, but I would imagine, and this is how I envision it, is that people bring these into their conversations with people they care about, regardless of what language it is.
Yeah.
Their native language as well. It just gives people, you know, reminds people of different interesting topics to talk about that are meaningful.
Yeah. So when I was thinking about, you know, what's important to me and what I should be focusing on and the things that I can bring some passion to, it really made me feel lucky to be a part of Deep English.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Me too. I mean, I remember it's part of the thing that I remember, you know, when I'm especially in those times where it's difficult.
Yeah.
You know, where we're making lessons and we're trying to come up with ideas and we're struggling with other things like our bodies and our lives and our families. And it's not easy. One of the things that, one of the sort of the key fundamental questions that arose for me in this lesson was at the very beginning, this question of if you could choose to find out the day that you would die, would you want to know? Like if that were possible to know, you know, how the exact date on which you're going to pass away, would you want to know that? I thought that was a very interesting question. Would you want to know if you could know, like if someone could tell you, Dan, you're going to die on this particular date in this particular year, would you want to know that information?
I think that I probably would. I would want to know, but I would probably recognize that it wouldn't be good for the quality of my life to know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would shape or guide too many decisions. Mm-hmm. And, but I think I wouldn't be able to resist.
Really?
If it was simply a matter of filling out a form.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is in the start of this lesson, we talk about this imagined world.
Mm-hmm.
Or this imagined future where you can fill out a form and get the answer from the government. And that's a story that is online, and it's an interactive story where
really?
Can make choices, and then it leads you down different branches of this tree in this world. And you know, it talks about the people who don't want to know and the people who do want to know, and how most of the society, something like, you know, 85% want to know.
Yeah.
And maybe a very small minority recognize that, you know, the act of knowing that starts to control your life.
Absolutely.
And and for them, it's interesting that both sides kind of feel that they're able to live life more fully.
Some side feels
with that knowledge, then they go, okay, I have this many years to live. I got to make it count.
Right.
And these are all the things that I want to do. And if I got to make sure that I'm making steps every day.
Yeah.
And I think the side that doesn't want to know feels that they're not that knowledge is not allowing them to live and is making them focus yes. on this future and missing right. out on the spontaneity and the surprises of yeah. of life, of yeah. a natural way
but,
of life.
I mean, that's how I feel. Like I would not want to know the day I'm going to die, not out of fear, but for that very reason. I kind of feel like not knowing the future, not knowing what's going to happen, brings a certain amount of excitement and freedom to yeah. my daily existence. Yeah. And it gives me sort of the sense that I can just live more fully.
Yeah.
Like I could die tomorrow.
Yeah.
I could die
yeah.
tonight. Yeah. I mean, it can happen anytime. Or maybe yeah. I could live to be 150 with yeah. this medical technology.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to know. It doesn't matter. But it's a conditional question, because if I found out that I had a terminal illness or something, or if I knew I was in the autumn years of my life, I was getting close to the end, maybe I would want to know. Maybe at that point, knowing that I've lived a full life already, you know, maybe the final years might be, it might yeah. be a useful piece of information.
Or what if you were to find out that you had, you know, 1 month left?
Yeah.
That would probably really, that would
shake
really
you to
shake,
the core.
You know, you'd really like, be thinking like, what can I do for my yeah. family in yeah. these last few, you know,
sure.
weeks or.
Yeah. That would pretty much occupy every, you know, minute of yeah. my existence. If I yeah. only had a month to live, I'd yeah. want to prepare for that.
Yeah. And I think that, yeah. I think that we'll never be in this place where we'll know exactly when we're going to die, but we're moving in that direction as they're able to decode, you know, our genes or the human genome.
Well,
that
yeah.
we're going to have a lot more information on how we're likely going to go.
Yeah, perhaps. But I mean, they can't tell you if you're going to get hit by a bus when no. you walk out the no. door and yeah. try and cross the street.
That was interesting. This is another, I read another fantasy thought experiment
yeah.
where you don't learn the day you're going to die, you learn how you're
going to
die.
Oh, how you're going to die. Oh,
you
gosh,
don't know
no,
when.
That would be terrible.
But you know it's a bus or you know it's cancer. Or...
Yeah, but it's like, what if it were like you're going to drown to death?
Right.
It's like you would never go near water. That would right. totally change your life.
Right.
You would just stay away from bathtubs.
Yeah.
You'd never take a yeah. shower. you wouldn't go outside when it's raining. I mean, that would totally,
right.
yeah,
and,
be crazy.
You know, the you can imagine that if back to the fantasy world where you know when you're going to die.
Yeah.
You know, if you know for certain that you're not going to die until, you know, you're 105, you know, you're going to be taking a lot of risks.
Oh, right.
Because
yeah,
you know
right.
it's not a risk.
Yeah.
I mean, you can imagine.
Time to go skydiving and, you know.
I mean, can you imagine what governments would do with that? Like recruiting militaries of people that they know are not going to die.
Oh, right. I mean, it just seems like it's a question in fantasy world.
Yes.
I mean, it's
yes.
just it's so hypothetical.
Yes. Yeah, it's silly.
It's just crazy.
Yeah. I actually heard the author, she put this to thought experiment to a woman who is actually dealing with terminal illness.
Uh-huh.
And she was kind of annoyed by it. She
yeah.
was like, I want to hear your dumb fantasy.
I'm dying, man.
Like,
don't leave me alone.
I know what this is really like.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. She said that, you know, that she kind of was carrying both sides of it as well. She was saying that, you know, there are times where she really experiences things much more deeply. Like she really, when she laughs out loud, she really feels that
mm-hmm.
and really appreciates it. And then on the other side, there are times where it's not like, you know, she's just able to live in the moment. It's
mm-hmm.
like incredibly, you know, horrible and,
yeah.
and scary.
Yeah. Wow.
But yeah, there are for some people, this is not just a fun little idea. It's something that they struggle with. And I think some of them do find some kind of meaning or in their limited time left.
Right.
And the truth of the matter is that, you know, back to this idea of a memento mori is that it is coming for us all.
Yeah.
And, you know, the memory of that hopefully can help us make the better decisions
and perhaps even appreciate our experiences more.
Yeah.
Like the simple act of drinking a cup of hot tea.
Yeah.
You know, around someone we care about.
Yeah. And rather than watching YouTube videos.
Rather than watching YouTube videos of The Sopranos.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure that's the most meaningful yeah. way to spend
yeah.
one's existence.
Yeah.
But yeah.
All right. On that note, Until next time.
Okay. We'll talk to you later.